Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Well, hello, I'm Les Kirkendall Barrett, and it is another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we discuss and try to make sense of movies on the Lifetime and the Hallmark channel. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Hello, Kirkpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett. And hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello.
It's been a while. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it has. We had a holiday week, and then Les kept coming up with excuses, including at one point people were having a cocktail party in his honor.
And they did.
Yeah.
And they did. And
listen, boys, there's a cocktail party in my honor, so you go and watch your little Netflix as I am honored.
I just think it's funny because of the three of us, Les is the one that genuinely likes the Lifetime and Hallmark movies, and yet he's the one that's like, sorry, I don't have time for the podcast this week.
I'm touring. Mm-hmm. But I'm
back. He said to us, I don't see you guys rating the kind of mate I'm contemplating. I'd let you watch. I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you. And then he went off to his cocktail party.
It was fun.
You're quoting Murray Head on the podcast.
So what do they do in your honor? Like, does everybody, like, do you have to wear something, like a special headpiece?
Or? No, they just sat in the living room and drank. They sat in the living room, okay, and drank, and I sat in the living room and drank Coca-Cola, because I don't drink.
So just people right, just sitting around drinking near you, that means they're doing something in your honor? If that's the case, then I should be king.
Right?
Okay. I believe it.
So that was that. But now I'm back in the United States, at least for about a month, and then I'm going back to Canada again.
Okay.
Yeah. But now I'm in Minneapolis because I have my monthly show, Workplace Drama, that I do here at Strike Theater. So that's on Friday. And then on Sunday, like I said, I'm headed back to Los Angeles, and I'm ready.
Right.
Because when I go home, I have a pool because it is hot and humid here and not a swimming pool in sight.
Really? Is that, I wonder, no, if that's because they freeze so bad in the winter that it's not worth it to put it in? Or?
Well, I think, because there are places with pools, just the place I'm staying has no pool.
Oh, so you're shaming your hosts, Scott.
Oh, okay.
I'm not shaming them. They have a fabulous, they have a fabulous apartment, just no pool.
I thought you were going to say, they have a fabulous ceiling fan.
But anyway, you guys.
So you have a swimming pool. At home, then.
I live in an apartment,
okay,
though.
Nice.
So, yeah, in L.A., a lot of apartments come with,
yeah,
a lot of buildings come with pools.
I have one.
Nice. Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it.
Well, okay. I don't know about you guys, but I do have some Blac Chyna news.
Oh.
Oh, you do? I know.
And now, for the Blac Chyna. Here's Les Kirkendall Barrett.
So I was watching the Wendy Williams show the other day, and on the Wendy Williams show, I found out Blac Chyna actually has her own reality show.
Didn't we know that already? Like, I know nothing about Blac Chyna, but I knew that she was on reality TV, and we've even talked about it a couple weeks ago.
But she was on the Kardashians, and that, no, she has her own show.
Right, no, we discovered that, because you said something, or one of you said something about Blac Chyna didn't want Rob's kid on her show, and I was like, what show? And you're like, are you kidding? And you said the Kardashians. I'm like, no, it sounds like she's got her own show, and I think we even Googled it.
Yeah,
it's on
that's
Zeus,
right.
Because it's on Zeus TV.
It's on Zeus TV?
Yeah.
What's that?
I feel like they're just making things up now. That's not a real network.
Right.
I think we should get a show on Zeus TV.
Right.
I mean,
because the next day, Wendy Williams couldn't find it either. She couldn't find Zeus TV either.
No.
But it's called Zeus TV.
We could win a Cable Ace Award if we get a show on Zeus TV.
Right? I'm Googling it right now.
Because I thought Cable Ace Awards still existed.
I'm Googling it right now. Let's see.
Zeus TV. Well, I'm telling
yes!
you.
Anybody? It's a thing.
Okay.
So it's, let's see.
Okay.
The Zeus, it's a whole,
What
I
other
think
shows
it's a streaming. Zeus TV, subscribe to watch the series premiere of The Real Blac Chyna.
Streaming.
Yes. $3.99 a month.
With all due respect to anybody that considers themselves a Blac Chyna fan, would you pay to watch Blac Chyna on a TV show?
Well, okay, it's a streaming show, or it's like it's a whole network.
It's a
Zeus
network,
TV?
But it's a streaming network. And it says here, anytime, anywhere, no television provider needed. You can watch them whenever you want.
I might watch it just so I can get some more Blac Chyna news, just for the show, because we constantly need updates.
And after all, it is The Real Blac Chyna. Oh, there's only one episode. It just premiered last week.
Oh, great. One episode. Okay. Well, then, it'll be easy to binge.
Once again, I find myself knowing more info about Blac Chyna than I needed to know in my life.
Okay. Oh, series premiere. The Real Blac Chyna.
I'm fascinated.
Blac Chyna faces Tokyo Toni.
That's her mom, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this is the synopsis of the episode. Blac Chyna's regular routine is severely disrupted when her mother, Tokyo Toni, rolls into town. How will this explosive confrontation affect things for her moving forward?
That sounds sad. Sounds like a lack of boundaries and, family drama.
Which is more sad, that scenario, or somebody saying, you know what, I would like to pay $3.99 a month to watch that scenario? Like living it or watching it, which is worse?
$3.99 a month or $39 for a year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, and there's no guarantee there's more episodes. Oh, boy.
No. Well, it's a series premiere, it's a summer show. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
No.
The real Blac Chyna. Yeah, there's some interesting shows on this channel. Mm. Bad
what else
escort.
Is on there?
You're throwing around that word interesting really liberally.
So there was a show
called Escorts.
Bad Escort.
Oh, bad escort. I'm actually kind of curious about that.
Like bad, like they're badass, or bad, like they're bad at their job.
I think they're bad.
Yeah, they're bad at their job.
Okay.
Yeah, but now that they have their own TV show, they don't have to be escorts anymore. So that works out.
Well, okay. I'm looking
Zeus
at TV.
You're making Kelsey Grammer
money.
You
can get a Zeus TV box on YouTube.
Well, yes. It probably is a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Probably. Does YouTube cost $3.99 a month? I thought YouTube Premium was like $11.99.
Yeah, it's more a month. They probably have a subscription within a subscription. Yeah. We have spent a lot of time on trying to figure out how to get a new Zeus TV.
Yeah, we gotta get,
imagine being somebody that actually actually does want to subscribe. Like, if we're looking and we can't figure it out, like, nobody else is figuring it out either.
Wow. Bad Escorts has, like, a whole season.
Bad we Escorts just brought them like, some subscribers, I think.
Bad Escorts has 9 episodes.
Wow.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I think that half our audience has switched over to Zeus TV.
So, speaking of bad, about this husband for Christmas.
Oh, wait. I have something I want to say first before we even get into the movie. And I think you guys are going to be a little bummed about it, but I think you'll agree with why I'm doing it. So, the past few weeks, I've been using the word bonkers a lot. Like, when something really crazy happens in the movie, or just, like, the movie, especially if it's a Lifetime one, gets really, really absurd. I've been throwing it around a lot. And so, this last week, or past couple of weeks while we were on our hiatus, I was like catching up on some podcasts that I listen to every now and then, and realized that I think I accidentally stole bonkers.
Oh no.
Like, that's obviously a word that existed before podcasts, but there's one podcast that I love, but I don't listen to it all the time, called How Did This Get Made? And if you're not familiar with it, it's a podcast where they watch really bad feature films. It's somewhat similar to ours in that they're watching these movies, probably expecting them to be bad, and then you know, just picking it apart. Now, we go beat by beat in the movie. They don't quite do that, but it's a similar kind of thing that they're doing. And one of the hosts, this guy Jason Manzoukas, who's a very funny comedian, he throws it out there, so much so that it is their offer code whenever they have something on sale through one of their sponsors. And so I'm listening to this realizing, like, oh, wait, that's why I use that word so much in everyday life. So, like, I didn't steal it intentionally. Nobody's come to me, told me I have to stop. But I realized like if you're a songwriter and you're like, oh, yeah, I did kind of lift that from that song that I love. So I'm not going to use that anymore.
There was a variety show. There was a variety show in the 80s called Bonkers, which I believe starred Kate Hudson's father. He was one of the stars.
Jeez.
Is that okay.
Bill Hudson?
I don't remember his name. Something Hudson.
Well, and that's fair, Jason. That's fair.
So I think I'll say I'll say like off the rails until something more organic to me comes along, and that might be it. I don't
know.
But I'm going to feel like I'm stealing if I continue to say it, because that wasn't my intention. I love that show and I love that podcast. I enjoy it so much that it just was part of my lexicon. Right.
I get it. It's too bad though, because bonkers like some.
Oh
it
yeah,
also.
I like it. Which I mean, I think that's why Jason Manzoukas has landed on that, is because it is a very funny word to describe so much.
Jason Manzoukas amuses me. I think he's funny.
He's very funny on that podcast too.
That's a funny show. There's also a show called We Hate Movies, which also is kind of funny as well. It's kind of like that show. It's just like the guys are a little bit. They aren't like professional comedians, but it's that show is also amusing.
Did before I joined the podcast, did you guys do that Harry and Meghan movie that was on Lifetime?
Yes, we did.
Because they actually did that on How Did This Get Made?
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
oh, did they really?
And I listened to that last week, and I was like, oh, okay. I don't feel that bad about stealing it because they're doing our thing too. Because it wasn't, like I said, not intentional. I just was like, oh, there's some overlap here that's not making me comfortable right now.
Actually, we did Harry and Meghan back when, because when this podcast originated, it was strictly a Hallmark podcast.
Oh, and yeah.
We did Harry and Meghan as an exception because the movie was coming up.
Yeah.
So that was actually our very first Lifetime movie.
And that may have been their first TV movie that they did on their podcast, because they do really bad features.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was right around the royal wedding, and we did a live show during the wedding.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Woke up 3 a.m.
Yeah, I was up early for that.
Yes. So, well, okay, so Bonkers is retired.
But Off the Rails is on, dude.
And Off the Rails is here.
It's Off the Rails.
Yeah.
It's speaking
off the rails.
And speaking of off the rails. a husband for Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Well, okay. I may have liked this movie more than you. When I say
really?
You, I mean both of you. Well, I will say that it seemed like it was taking place on a different planet.
Yes.
And you guys might agree with that.
Well, yes. You mean than like actual human life, or than the Lifetime and Hallmark movies normally play in? No, I mean that genuinely. Like, do you mean that metaphorically or physically?
It existed on a set of rules that were either ridiculous or inappropriate.
Uh-huh. And part of it, which will come out soon, is this. The subject matter of this movie is actually something that I have dealt with in real life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
you had to marry Vivica K. Fox?
Well,
no.
You know.
Awesome. He had to star in a movie so bad it wasn't good enough for Lifetime or Hallmark, because this didn't air on either.
So where did it air? It looked like a Hallmark movie.
This aired on. This was an original movie made for Ion Television. Ion Television used to be PAX TV, and basically, like, they just show a lot of reruns of like Law and Order and other crime dramas during the day. Like, I think back when the network formed, it was like faith-based programming, and they got further and further away from that. They do like, but it's a bunch of like. Older women that sit home and just have the TV on. Like, my mom has it on all day long in the background. And so they probably figured, hey, we have a lot of overlap with Lifetime and Hallmark. Let's make our own movie.
Right.
Oh.
But on YouTube, they build it as a Hallmark movie.
In the subject. But if you look in the corner, the little Ion logo is in the corner.
Yeah, once it started, Ion. Once I started watching it, I noticed the big Ion in the corner that never went away.
And fun fact, this one is actually on Amazon Prime, like as part of the free movie. So I watched it.
Oh, I was gonna say they want people to pay for this.
Yeah, so it was actually like good quality, a good quality version I saw.
I would want my money back.
We're providing the history of A Husband for Christmas. What year was this out?
2016.
So we start out. It's a corporate office, of course, because it's a Christmas movie. So we have it down. So we know the woman, the lead, is going to be a corporate woman. So we're in a corporate office, and then we see shoes, and so then we see shoes and walking with purpose, and then we see Santa Claus. And he's like, hey, lady, where are you going? And Vivica A. Fox swings around and says, I'm getting a husband for Christmas.
And I already hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, when she said, I literally, I will show you. I wrote that in my notes. I don't know if you can see it. Towards the bottom there, it says,
I
already hate this movie in all capital letters.
Wow. You write stuff on. I scribble things down. Look at this. I got a disaster.
No, I feverishly type.
Yeah.
But I have to admit.
Yeah.
When I saw, so I was watching this on public transportation here in Minneapolis, or the beginning of it anyway. So I started watching it on my phone. And when they showed Vivica A. Fox, I went, oh, hey, girl. Like she's my friend or something.
And people heard you? They're like, excuse me?
I was like, hey girl.
Hey, girl. Excuse me.
God.
Santa Claus appears in this movie in very weird ways, and people pay attention to Santa.
Well,
and they don't have to.
First of all, it's never, ever addressed in the movie, the Santa in this scene. And then there's another scene that involves Santa. It's the same Santa, and it's completely different locations.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a beard. So they're trying to hint at, although, again, they never comment on it, that this is, in fact, the real Santa. The real Santa is omnipresent and asks really intrusive and sometimes kind of inappropriate questions. And also, he doesn't actually have a beard.
He looked like a drunk Santa to me.
Yeah.
I didn't. He's the real. He's supposed to be the real Santa.
That's my take on it, because he showed up later in the movie as the Salvation Army Santa. Yeah,
he shows up in weird places.
And remember, in that scene when we first see Santa, like the wind blows, like magical wind.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay, so I had a lot of issues with this movie, which a lot of issues. So we're at a cocktail party, right? And Vivica is talking to her friend, like her sassy friend, because you know how there's always like the sassy body woman. That's her friend.
Although we find out later this isn't her friend, and who they introduce as sassy, like later turns out to just secretly hate Vivica Fox, and she's trying to like sabotage her career. Like and no explanation as to why.
Right. Exactly. That came out of nowhere.
This is the woman who has it in for her. She's the brunette.
Right.
The blonde is her friend.
The blonde is her friend. But the brunette, the first scene with her and Vivica, it's like they're besties.
Right.
Oh, yes, but they're not.
Yeah.
Just going to undermine her.
And so they're at a cocktail party, and they're talking about work. They're chatting, and they're talking about their job.
Yeah.
And how something weird is going on in the office, and, like, they're afraid that they might get laid off.
Yeah, there's a pending merger with Onway Media Branding.
Right. So then Vivica, or Brooke, as she's known, accidentally spills a drink on this woman. And so she runs to the bar to get some club soda. She goes to the bar. She ends up having to wait in line. And as she's waiting in line, this guy, Roger, with a horrible British accent, horrible, he starts talking to him, but he's cute. He's very cute.
He's like a TV movie version of Idris Elba.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and he kind of looked a little bit like him. Like, he was handsome. He had the accent, though, was fake.
Yeah.
But he was an alien. He was in the movie Aliens in the 80s.
Oh, he was?
The original.
He was like
Aliens.
One of the army guys. Yeah, with Sigourney Weaver. Yeah.
Oh.
Nice. So she starts talking to Roger. And they're talking about the merger again. And then later, Brooke is at home. And
wait, can we talk for a second about what his work visa is for? Because this is a major plot point in the movie. It's never pointed out how absurd this is. So he's worried about his work visa working out. Like, if he's going to get it, because he's from the UK. And he's a graphic designer. Like, he is a dime a dozen. No offense to graphic designers, there, you need a good one, but there are many candidates to choose from in the United States, and this company that's apparently having money troubles, which is why they're merging with another, they're gonna bring over a graphic designer from another country. That's gonna turn things around. Good.
And to add on to this, this was set in LA because at one point they showed the 101.
Yeah.
So a graphic designer in LA is basically like an actor in LA.
Yes, absolutely.
They're also bringing an excellent web designer from South Africa. He's worked on some Wix sites, and they just can't find anyone else in the US who can do this. So they're going to be bringing. By the way, Eric Roberts is one of the executives. There's a shot of all the executives hanging out, and there's Eric Roberts
with his glasses.
Our friend from our last movie.
You could see him this time. He wasn't wearing sunglasses.
Yes,
but he still wears glasses. He's still wearing glasses.
That's what it was. Yep. He showed up for one day of work on that other movie and had forgotten his prescription lenses, and he's like, "Oh, I'll just wear my prescription sunglasses."
Right.
Oh, he didn't show up for a long time for this movie either.
But I had a real problem with him in this, because once again, in this movie, like the last movie, he was a creep. Because Brooke finds out her sister, her mom calls her, and she finds out that her sister's getting married. Mm-hmm. And then we find out she's chatting with her friend, the one who really is her friend.
And Amanda.
Amanda, and we find out that Brooke passed up a job because she's afraid of flying.
Did Brooke and Amanda ever actually share the screen in any scenes together?
Yes. I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Because it just felt to me like every time they were talking, it was the two of them on the phone. And I'm like, this actress who, I don't know who she is, but Vivica's a bigger name. Like, make her show up to work on the same day.
Oh, you know what? They did. They were in the same scene together, and we're actually coming up on it.
Soon. Oh, okay. Oh, I do remember. Yeah. Now I remember it. Okay.
So she's talking to Amanda, and she thinks that Roger is She thinks that she's being replaced.
Yes.
She thinks she's being replaced, and then Amanda thinks that she's going to be proposed to.
Ooh.
So then Brooke goes to work, and she is called in by her boss.
Right, Brooke goes to work and starts handing out
coffee.
Oh, that's right.
You know what she was delivering, and this is what she called it?
What?
Espresso.
She
actually, and they left it in the movie, Vivica A. Fox's character, Brooke, is handing out, first of all, their coffee cups, but right. Full coffee cups to everyone in her office and offers them espresso.
No. Well, that's a lot of espresso. She's handing a whole big cup of it.
And just to be clear for anyone listening, because I've never probably said the word on the podcast, I do know personally that it's pronounced espresso. Vivica A. Fox's character, or maybe Vivica A. Fox herself, said espresso.
Oh no, come on, script supervisor, you have to get on that.
Come on, director of the movie,
somebody. Well, so some of the lower people in the crew, yeah, the people in the crew, they don't want to correct anybody. I get it.
So now this is the part where I start having problems. So her boss calls her in. Mr. Rawlings, Eric Roberts. And I wrote, he's wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm. And not dark glasses.
And so they start talking, and we find out, you know, they start talking about the merger, and we find out, instead of getting laid off, Brooke actually gets promoted.
You're promoted.
It's like this great promotion, and then he starts talking to her about this new graphic artist that they found, and they start looking at the artist's work, and it's actually pretty good. And then Brooke lets the boss know that actually she knows the guy, Roger, and that she also, you know, Roger, when they met, Roger told her about his issues with, you know, his citizenship issues, because he's from England, and you know, and he wanted to get a work visa, right? So she's talking to her boss, Eric, about this, and then he says, "Well, you know, actually, this wouldn't be a problem if you married this guy, because before, it used to just be you could come here and I could sponsor him, but now it's a lot harder." So basically he tells her, "You're going to marry this guy. And then I'm going to give you a promotion." As a thank you for this promotion, you're going to marry this guy so he can become a citizen. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I've been through this. It's not that easy at all.
Nope.
Second of all, this is basically prostitution.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's sexist. And says Vivica is African American, and the guy from England is also black. I thought it was kind of borderline racist as well.
It's pretty bad. I think there would be a lawsuit. just on the basis of that discussion.
Oh yeah, she could absolutely go sue her boss and sue the company and do all kinds of things, and you know she's not going to do that because it's sort of the entire conceit of the movie. But I'm curious, Les, as somebody that's gone through this, even if they get married or when they get married, doesn't he like, even though he's allowed to stay in the country now because he's married, and I know there's like a long process and whatnot, doesn't he need a separate visa to be able to work during that time?
Yes, he does.
And they never address that.
Yes, he does. And it's, yes, he needs a special visa for that. So
they're just wrong across the board.
Because my husband was actually, when he first came to the States, he was here on a work visa, and it was sponsored by his company. And so as long as he was working for the company, the visa was active. And every few years, they have to renew, like, they had to renew the visa. But if you're here on a work visa, you can stay here as long as your job needs you or wants you to be here.
Yeah, but the renewal sometimes isn't overnight. Like, I have a friend from Australia. He's on a work visa, and he has to go back. But then when he comes back, there's a whole waiting period before our government approves that the work visa is valid and that it's okay with our system. So he was out of work this year for like 6 months.
Right. I was waiting for him. I know you're talking about it. Yeah. We have this, it's the same friend.
Wow.
But the same friend whose house is where I actually met my husband.
Oh, yes.
But this guy, it actually sounded like he had just arrived in the country, like he hadn't been here that long.
Right. He came for the job.
Right. So then Eric Roberts could have just given him a visa.
Yes.
Since he was coming for the job.
Yes.
Well, I have to point out, too, in the scene, the two actors were not in the room together while they shot the scene. Vivica Fox and Eric Roberts were not in the scene together. Ooh. There is one wide shot, but they're clearly using a body double for Vivica Fox. And I think that wide shot is used once.
So basically, Eric shows up and like in these movies and says, listen, I am going to film for a day, we're gunning out all my scenes, the end.
Yeah. He does appear with her later on a couple times. So he did work on this a little more than he worked on the last one.
Maybe there was a lighting or sound or something issue where it made more sense to just reshoot the one half of the scene or something.
No, I just think it's as easy as... He has like a contract or something. I'll give you a week or something.
I don't know.
Like that.
I mean, I know Eric Roberts is somewhat of a name and has done a bunch of work, but he's doing a movie for ION Television. I don't think he can really be like, you know, guys, I don't know who I am.
Well, who's more powerful? Isn't he a powerful figure to ION Television? You know, like if he's working for Spielberg. Maybe. If ION Television, he could throw that Eric Roberts weight around.
So you think like ION, they get like a C or D list celebrity to star in their movies, but they're like walking on eggshells around them?
Right.
Yeah, they won't correct espresso. So there you go.
Oh, because you know Vivica would like be like, girl, nope.
Girl, this is ION Television. I'm going to say espresso. I'm going to say latte. I'm saying what I want to say.
So the next scene, Brooke is actually, she's actually in the scene. She's walking down the street with Amanda.
Oh, well, first of all, before we even leave the office, so Brooke comes out of the office, and the chick that we thought was her friend, who's the assistant to Rawlings.
Natasha?
Yeah. First of all, this conversation that Eric Roberts and Vivica Fox were having, this very illegal thing he's insinuating that she needs to do, he left his door wide open while they had this conversation. Because they keep cutting to the fake friend receptionist woman, and her reaction is like, what? What is he asking her? Oh my gosh, what? And then Vivica comes out, and she's starting to ask Vivica about what they said, and Vivica plays it down and doesn't really say anything, and she acts surprised.
Yeah.
And so she's clearly going to be trying to sabotage all this.
Yes.
Yes.
So
Natasha.
Natasha.
Natasha, the evil brunette.
Amanda and Brooke are walking down the street, and she's telling Brooke what's going on. And then we find out that that Brooke actually wants to buy this condo. And if she got this promotion, it would allow her to buy, it would give her the money that she needs to buy the condo. Mm. So she's walking by the condo, and she runs into her old friend, Jack Hay.
All right. Soak it in, because this is her only scene.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was very upset about that.
We wanted more Jack Hay.
Yes.
I wanted one of two things. I either wanted more Jack Hay, or I would like an explanation as to why this scene existed in this movie at all, because it does nothing for the story.
Right. But I guess it was
down
just
with Nick, her husband.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason.
Well,
yeah,
just
she's just jealous. Yeah.
Jack Hay could go like,
I'm sorry,
ooh.
Go ahead,
I don't think she did that this season.
Yeah, okay, so it's in. It's in. It stays in.
Because she was like, ooh, hey, Brooke, this is my condo and my husband.
This is what I think happened, is they were filming this, and I think they actually filmed this in L.A. It looked real. They were filming, and they happened to be filming outside a building, and Jack Hay happened to walk out, and they just left it in the movie.
Right.
I'll bet that is what happened.
Like, Vivica and Jack are just, like, catching up on film, and the director's like, yeah, just get this, like, because maybe we can just say Jack Hay's.
And they're like, hey, what are you doing here?
And they were clever, because they had one of those, like, paper signs on one of the telephone poles, like, if you walk past this area,
right,
you're on film.
Yeah,
so it's Jack Hay just walked into the area without even reading
waiver,
it.
Waiver,
you know,
basically,
that's,
yeah.
It. I think that did happen.
So then, okay, so what was the next scene? My notes are a little messed up. What do you guys have?
Let's see. Amanda thinks that she should marry Roger.
Yeah.
I wrote, this is kind of depressing.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
this is off the rails.
Oh, this was her rationale. This was her rationale. Amanda said that second marriages, her second marriage would then have a better chance because she will have been through a first marriage. Oh, boy. Amanda really has her shit together. Mm. Here's my question. Is California a 50-50 state?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, then don't get married, you idiots.
Really, that's the deciding factor in this math equation for you, Kurt?
I think we can start with that, and we could already put a stop to it, so we don't have to go on to any other reasons.
I think we should start with the and I'm not super sanctimonious on the institution of marriage, but with that aside, like, don't marry someone you don't really know.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I agree.
Exactly.
All right.
Every reason, and you know, the result is don't marry, don't get married in this scenario. So it all leads to the same answer.
Yes.
I have Brooke is reading a card. Oh, she got a card. I've got a greetings card.
Right.
I don't know what it was from. I just have she's reading a card.
Oh, the
and
Christmas
then,
card.
And she calls Eric. Oh, she got a Christmas card. Then she calls Eric Roberts. And he, you know, he says hello, which I'm impressed with that because, you know, at some point they had to get him to say that. she said that she's in. She's going to marry Roger.
Yeah.
I mean, after we just told her not to.
Yeah.
Right.
Dumbbell.
Right. So then they basically, like, meet again and get married, right?
Well, they have, like, a little meetup to, like, talk about how they're not going to complicate things. And I realized they're like talking about how they're not going to complicate things. And they're very openly talking about their sham marriage in front of the justice of the peace.
Yeah.
They have a whole conversation about their sham marriage while the person is handing off their marriage license to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that person couldn't be subpoenaed by the immigration or in any kind of court situation.
No, no.
So,
yes.
That's what I mean, a different planet we're on here.
And then they get married, and then they go out to lunch after their wedding. Mm.
This is their wedding reception.
And then they're talking, and then he's like, and then they're like, oh, okay, bye, see you tomorrow. No,
no,
that
no.
is not.
Right.
No, what were you going to say, Kurt?
Oh, no, he tells her that he has got a girlfriend. He's got a girlfriend and a wife, and the girlfriend doesn't know that this is going on.
No, she does not. She does
oh,
not.
Oh, boy. Hey, ladies don't like that. If you've got a girlfriend, you marry someone else. Oh, boy.
And then he threw shade at her. He threw shade at her because he's like, well, I guess you don't have a boyfriend.
Oh.
To Brooke.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And
oh, he said so you have nothing going on in that area.
Right. Ugh. Exactly.
I mean,
shady.
I don't even need to go on a rant about how misogynistic and like 1950s thinking this movie is, but still, like, so she's got the problem because she doesn't have a man, yet his relationship is so great that he can't tell his girlfriend that he has a sham wife.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Maybe these people should be together.
This is the part though, after that, when they're like, oh, okay, see you later, bye, see you tomorrow at work. No, it does not work like that. You have to live in the same house, because part of this is when you have your sham marriage, when you marry the immigrant, they can show up at your house at any time. They can just drop by. So you have to live in the same house.
Right.
You have to. And that's like common knowledge, whatever. That's just common sense. So then we cut to her new place. Like, she's moving into her new place.
A condo.
Ooh.
And then we see Roger, and he's at home and he's painting, but you could tell he's worried about something. And then he opens up this ring box, and there's an engagement ring inside. And then stop it. Hold on. Move. There's a cat here. The cat's like chewing on the wire. Anyway.
Yeah, I have a cat running around too.
This cat, Artemis. So then he calls his girlfriend, and he tells her that he loves her. And then, isn't this weird? Like, the next scene is like the Santa's in it, right?
So he calls the girlfriend.
Yeah, where is this?
And leaves a message that, hey, I love you, but I'm not going to be home for the holidays. Bye. Like,
right.
You love her so much that you bought her a ring and you were going to marry her, but now you're in another country. And instead of telling her that on the phone, you leave a message. Hey, not going to see you for a few weeks over the holidays.
I would be so pissed.
This would not be a Hallmark movie.
Someone
ever.
Left me a voicemail?
No.
No.
This is terrible.
The fact that they're
interracial
couples in this movie also sets it apart from Hallmark.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
So then the next scene, who's having the conversation in the next scene?
Brooke
it's
and Amanda.
Amanda.
And Brooke.
Amanda's on the phone. Yeah, with Brooke, yeah.
They're okay. Talking about going on
but
a
then
singles
cruise. Creepy Santa's eavesdropping on the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
That's
the same
really
Santa.
Weird.
Because Amanda's basically giving Brooke a pep talk, like, you can do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then Creepy Santa is like, she should let herself fall in love. And it's like, Santa, what are you doing listening to her conversation?
By the way, I realized that, yeah, Santa may be beardless, but in this scene I got a better look. He does, in fact, have a soul patch.
Oh, so he's funky Santa.
He's he's 90s garage band Santa, maybe?
I guess.
He's current creepy Santa. Very
and
strange.
He looks drunk. I still say he looks drunk.
He's probably drunk.
Yeah. But Amanda responds to him. She's like, well, I don't know. She just doesn't allow herself to fall in love.
Yeah, she thinks nothing of this random dude with a soul patch and a red suit butting it out in her conversation.
I'm surprised you're listening to me.
And especially like, and Amanda was like she's very pretty.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, hey, you creep, what are you doing listening to my conversation and talking to me?
And
you
know? I don't know. And again, it's never addressed.
Anything else to share?
I don't remember what it was she said, but Amanda responds to him as if he actually is Santa.
Yeah.
She doesn't answer the question. It's like, well, you know, thank you. We've got to go now, or whatever it was. But she was like overly polite to this random stranger as if he actually were Santa.
To drunk Santa.
Yeah.
Soul patch Santa.
I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake.
Right. Stalker Santa. Oh, so the next scene, we're back at the office, right? And Roger is actually flirting with Natasha. He's like flirting on it with her. And then
he goes after the wrong women.
Then we see Mr. Rawlings, Eric Roberts. He's talking to Brooke, and he can't even get her name right. It's like, okay, this woman just committed a felony for you, and you can't get her name right?
He keeps calling her Beth.
Yeah.
Beth.
Beth.
How? Oh no! I almost did my Santa Claus impression again. How's married life? Sounds a little similar.
And then he crosses the line because he basically asks her if they had sex.
Yeah.
I sent some sparks. So did you do it? I can see her. Robert's asking that though.
But and then he was like, I saw the way he was looking at you.
It was so disgusting. Disgusting.
Seriously. Seriously.
This is some workplace. Like, so this guy is like, please, we have to have a lawsuit. What I have to do here?
Right.
What disgusts me even more is that this is probably much closer to what it is legitimately like for women to be creeped on at work than most movies show us.
I agree. Then she tells him, he tells her that she should bring Roger to the Christmas party.
Yeah, he offers her a bonus for keeping up appearances.
A bonus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a bonus for this.
So once again.
Oh, no.
That's called prostitution.
What's the bonus? I think maybe she should have negotiated this ahead of time.
Bonus is she gets to have her name taken off of the movie.
And then, of course...
Here's my bonus right here. Zip. Who knows? Inappropriate.
And, of course, they're dumb because they're talking about this in the middle of the office. within earshot. Then Natasha goes and sits at her desk and calls immigration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reports of fraud.
Yeah.
He also tells her to put up some Christmas decorations. Stop being such a miser.
Right. So then the INS shows up, and the INS is the guy from the last movie.
Yeah, he's the wrong neighbor.
He was the wrong neighbor.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the wrong neighbor.
And P.S., the woman... was the woman who the wrong neighbor was stalking, the two INS people.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't recognize her.
Yes, she was the woman who he was stalking. Yes. Her
what?
Name is Jessica Morris.
God, wow. There's some stunt casting.
Her I could see, but the guy looks not... I thought the guy in the wrong neighbor was more like manly man. This guy was more like, I'm like a young dad.
Well, you heard his voice, right?
He had that voice. It's kind of like he's kind of like a weird voice.
Well, you know what the difference was? He had clothes on in this movie.
Well, that's rude.
It's true.
Yeah. It's still rude. So wait.
We're going to see his acting. His real acting ability.
I'm from the INS. I'm here to get you.
He's still hot, though.
It's like all the stars of Lifetime and Hallmark movies like went to a party, like a game party, and part of the games is like you put your name in a bowl and then they pick it out and they're like, okay, you're in a movie now.
Right. Or like a poker game where if you lose, I bet that if you lose this, you're going to be in this movie.
It's like the 2019 actor version of a key party.
Right?
Like instead of going out with each other's partners, you go with each other's co-stars and go make a movie.
Right. And it's like, oh, we're going to be in Killer Grandma together.
Yeah. Or they just, who's going to air this? Well, there's something called Ion. They'll air anything.
Right. What about Zeus TV? I heard that's really good.
$3.99.
If Ion doesn't want it, we could always go to Zeus TV. There's no stopping us. There's so many levels.
$39 for the year.
Wait, who got Eric Roberts on their team this time?
Right.
I can't believe that Game of Thrones got 32 Emmy nominations, and yet Ion and Zeus hasn't got...
RuPaul's Drag Race got 14.
Okay, what's that on?
Oh, VH1.
Not on Zeus.
No.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's on VH1. RuPaul's Drag Race is officially the most Emmy-nominated show in VH1's history.
I just read that. Surprise face.
More so than I Love the 80s?
Or I Love New York. Or Flava of Love.
I Love the 90s.
What was the one that Flava Flav and Brigitte Nielsen and a bunch of other it was like a bunch of D-list celebrities living in a house.
There was Surreal Life.
They fell in love. So when that show was on, I was interviewing people at a press room. This is one of my favorite moments from when I worked in radio. doing interviews in a press room, and Flava Flav comes through, and he sits down. Now, Flava Flav, if you know who he is, he's that rapper that always wears a giant clock around his neck.
Yes.
And I noticed in the interview that, like, he's A, checks his watch at one point, and B, checks the time on his phone.
And I
pointed out to him, and he didn't know what I was talking about. He didn't know the irony from where I was speaking of, you literally have a clock around your neck and are checking the time on your watch and your phone.
That's great.
And he would always tell the girls his catchphrase.
Coco Lampin.
Especially since his catchphrase was, you know what time it is.
Oh, man. I went to the Waverly Diner in the West Village one time, and all these guys were coming out, and then I see Flavor Flav walking out behind them. So I went up and said, Flavor Flav, I was such a big fan of Public Enemy. And he pulls out his pinky, so I could shake his pinky like it's a little hand. And he said, God bless you, man. So that was cool.
And shake his pinky.
I'm lamping. I'm cold, cold lamping. I got news, boy. 9-1 is a joke. That's actually.
So the INS agent is questioning her, and he asks her where they met, and she says they met on a singles cruise. Mm-hmm. And then the INS guy is like, "Okay, listen, I'm coming back on Christmas Eve. And you better have your story straight. Or you better be here. You better have your story straight."
By the way, INS let themselves into her home. That's not legal, right? If they were just following up on a report of fraud.
No, you need, they just walked in. Need a warrant.
Yeah. Yeah, they were in her apartment. And they even say, like, oh, something like your door was open or something. But still, that's still illegal.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. No, you can't do that.
This is a nightmare.
No, it is a nightmare.
Then she starts Googling the legal ramifications. Wait. She starts doing that now.
We're still in the house. Like, before that, when INS is there,
right.
The chick is rifling through Brooke's stuff. And Brooke calls her out. Well, not if they don't have a warrant and they...
Oh, true.
Yeah,
true.
They don't have a warrant. Right. They're like rifling through her stuff and Brooke calls her out on it. And the guy tries to defuse it by like saying, hey, everyone is all testy with Christmas coming. Like,
right.
You're mansplaining, hey, my apartment's getting raided by INS without a warrant. And you're explaining it away as Christmas? You jackass.
If there are any aliens in outer space who somehow saw a broadcast of this movie and are now listening to us, this isn't how the world works.
No. No.
No.
As a public service announcement, I had to give. By the way, welcome aliens.
Hi.
So then she's Googling. Well, we'll take whatever listeners we can get.
Follow us on Instagram.
Then she's Googling and she finds out. What's that?
I just said follow us on Instagram, aliens.
Yeah, I have a very large alien following. Then she's Googling and she finds out that she could get 5 years of jail time for being the big dummy.
Which I'm looking up now because in my interview, because we had to interview with immigration, and I think dumb. it was more than 5 years.
Oh,
it
yeah.
I thought it was 20.
Well, Andy McDowell was not arrested at the end of Green Card.
No, she was not.
Well, it's a new
what
world.
What a sweet movie.
It's a new
Green
world.
Green Card is such a sweet movie.
It's a new president and a new world because I think you go down for like 20.
I'm sure. And I'm sure if they really want to nail you enough, they'll nail you. They'll find other things that you violated and add on years based on that.
Yes, because our lawyer sat us down, and it was literally like, "You're in this for the right reasons, right?" Like she kept on like reiterating, "If you are not, if this is fraud, you are going down, and you are going down hard."
Yeah.
I had a friend like 20 years ago who was going, she wanted to stay in the country and she was going to marry a guy and the guy was gay. And and when they met with a lawyer, the lawyer said, no one is going to believe that he's straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And that was 25 years ago. That's not even, you know, back then people just thought that men would, you know, oh, that Paul Lind, he just has a lisp.
Right.
Well, it was Paul Lynn, actually. She was going to marry Paul Lynn. Like, are you going to marry me?
Okay. Oh, so I just looked
Paul
it up.
Impression if we're going to do that again.
I just looked it up. And
it was Charles Nelson Reilly.
And it is 5 years. I just looked it up. But
We owe this movie a big apology.
Well, I'm sorry, movie, but still, you're dumb. Because I think now the way it is... The way it is now, though, like, they will throw your ass in jail. Like, our lawyer, like, put the fear of God in us, put it that way. And she was like, if this is not legit, this is your last chance to turn around. Yeah, so it is 5 years in prison.
Okay.
And these days, they will throw your ass in jail.
Even if you didn't know the length of time... I know it might be asking a lot of Vivica A. Fox in this movie, but wouldn't she have at least known that, you know, you could go to jail for that?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Like, it took her till after she got married to be like, you know, I should just, like, Google my rights.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So then they go to the Christmas party. And Roger's a dumbass, too, because they're at the Christmas party, which, okay, if you... That's right. No one else knew except for Eric at this point.
And Eric Roberts is in a scene with Vivica A. Fox in this
you're right.
Christmas party.
But
well, right before the party, they have a scene in the office, and she tells him about INS coming, and he's super blasé about it, too.
And, okay, another part of this... So a part of the process is you have to get references from some of your friends saying that you are a legitimate couple.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
She's at the Christmas party And it basically looked like the majority of her friends were her work friends, from what I gathered.
Yeah.
And he shows up with his British girlfriend.
Yeah, like, dude.
Yeah, dude. Gwen.
Gwen. Who, uh-huh. It's like, if you're going to have a sham marriage, you should arrive together and keep your British girlfriend under wraps.
The British girlfriend, yeah, by the way, had a worse British accent than he did.
Yes.
It was terrible.
Yes. Gwen.
See, I don't know my British accents.
I know a fake accent. It was super fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Gwen just didn't know. Gwen was completely ignorant to this whole thing.
How her accent should work.
Everything. She's ignorant of everything. Ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
And then
they say to her, they're going to work on the married couple account. Well, that's what Brooke walks up and says to them. We have to work on the married couple account.
Yeah.
Yes.
That will debut at the Super Bowl. And Gwen is just like, ooh. I wrote, they're talking around the dingbat Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have to do a presentation on Christmas Eve. And Gwen goes along with it.
And then Brooke says she's sick to her stomach, and Gwen's like, well, maybe you're pregnant. Which is pretty rude, actually.
Yeah.
And Brooke gives her the stink eye.
Yeah, she should.
Yes, everybody should be giving each other the stink eye. We're all making bad decisions here.
And then, yeah, Brooke asks Roger, why aren't you panicking? And I wrote, you better panic. And then, oh, okay, so this is another part I had an issue with. They're back at her condo. They're, you know, and that's when he's being blasé about the whole thing. And then we find out that she hates Christmas.
No, she doesn't. He keeps saying that about her. She never indicates at all that she hates Christmas. He just keeps assuming that she does.
You hate Christmas.
Right.
I don't. You hate it.
Because actually, when we find out the reason why she doesn't want to go home, that was a very legitimate reason,
yes,
for not wanting to go home.
And could have been a major plot point had it been introduced earlier.
Exactly. Because that was like, oh, that's, she's not wrong. She's not wrong at all. So then part of the process as well, and we had to deal with this, you have to give them pictures. And you have to give them, like, you have to literally create a photo album and give them pictures, which they keep. Like, all of our pictures, we had to get duplicates because they kept the album.
Oh, really?
They kept it. We had to present an album, and our lawyer was like, make sure the pictures that you give them are duplicates because they're going to keep it. And they
It's not that they need the original copy. They just need a copy of those photos.
Right.
Got it.
But these people decided, oh, we're going to Photoshop. And the INS, they're experts enough. Part of the reason why they keep the pictures is to check them out to make sure they're not Photoshopped.
This was my favorite scene in the entire movie, because they're sitting there doing the worst Photoshopped pictures ever, and they're supposed to be the top of the line Cadillac of graphic designers, and they can't do a decent Photoshop of their own photos. Looks like those when you go on to a vacation spot like Universal Studios Hollywood or something, and they have that, like, you could do the green screen and put yourself like in any, like, oh look, I'm on the moon, and it looks so cheesy, and there's like a weird glow around the outside. It looked like those, and it's supposed to be them like on the beach having fun together.
Right. Yeah, it was horrible.
They might as well have had a scene with them on the moon. Here's where we went to the moon, and here's where we are at the bottom of the ocean. It was a wonderful time. We stayed dry.
He's such a good graphic designer. We have to bring him over from the UK. Oh, did I mention he doesn't know how to use Photoshop?
Right. Ugh, so dumb.
They didn't have to bring him over to the UK. They could have just Photoshopped US cities behind him.
Right.
Had the same effect.
So, So then
I wrote dingbatting it because I wrote what dingbat would fall for this.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, so the album that you give them, they never give it back. It is in a, it is, our album is in like a file somewhere at immigration.
They'd keep that one. They'd have a good time with that one.
I think you're both fully missing the irony of the fact that they are graphic designers and can't do Photoshop.
I know. I love it. No, I get it. I get it. It's completely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My.
So then they
add
go
some
to
shade or something.
They so then they go to they're decorating for Christmas, and they're at a Christmas tree farm, and then I wrote and then this is where we find out that the reason why she doesn't want to go home for Christmas is because her sister's fiance is her ex boyfriend.
Yes.
Which I do not blame her for not wanting to go home, and yes, she is not wrong.
Yeah, and that could have been a major driver of this movie.
Actually, that could have been the movie, period.
Yes.
Period.
You know, the sister can't find any other guy. Please.
Right.
I don't approve of that.
And then we find out there is a dead wife.
I see dead people.
Not a dead parent,
exactly.
But I can play
that. Yay!
Yeah. Yay! But exactly.
Roger's wife
is dead.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if the other neighbor killed her.
Maybe.
The wrong neighbor.
The wrong neighbor. Yeah. Yeah, the wrong neighbor.
So then, speaking of the wrong neighbor,
he's there.
Speaking of the wrong neighbor, he shows up at the Christmas tree bar.
Yeah. INS guy is there.
He's there getting his Christmas tree. The INS man celebrates the holidays.
Busts legal aliens by day, but takes his daughter Christmas tree shopping by night.
Right.
Right.
And then they're doing such a bad job that the daughter even is like, you don't seem married.
Yeah.
The little girl.
Little girl's the only. She was the only smart person in the movie. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Excuse me, what the fuck is going on?"
Exactly.
She's like, "Really, Brooke? You didn't Google it first 5 years? Really, you didn't know that?"
Daddy, why are you here in the same place that they're at? Like a day after you met them, this is weird. Shut up.
Right. And then they couldn't get their story straight about how they met.
Oh yeah, he says that this. What did they say? Oh yeah, the INS guy, the wrong neighbor. He says, "I met my wife. He's a weird voice. He's like, I met my wife here at a Christmas tree farm," and Roger says, "That's how we met."
Right.
What?
And then
he's like, "I thought you met on a singles cruise."
Right.
And they said, "Yeah," they say, "a singles cruise that had a Christmas tree farm on it."
Right. Okay, so then during this whole thing, I wrote a question because I wrote, where's Gwen?
Yeah.
Like, where is she?
Yeah. Roger spent that whole day before doing the Photoshop photos, which had to have taken them a long time because they did not know what they were doing. And Gwen is nowhere to be seen, but she came all the way from England to see Roger.
Right. And she's nowhere to be – she's nowhere. So So then Roger is like, you know, we should go to your parents' Christmas party. And so then they go to her parents' house, and like she says, you know, her sister's marrying her ex, and so that's why she'd really rather not go home.
I think, by the way, I think Gwen was shopping for tinsel while they were looking for a tree.
Maybe.
Sounds like a euphemism.
She was shopping for tinsel.
So then they meet the mom and the dad, and the mom's like eyeing him up. And then mom's a bitch because they walk away, and the mom's like, "Isn't he out of your league?" I'm like, "You're a bitch."
She said it like right to her face.
How rude.
I think Roger was still there when she said it too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
isn't he out of your league? You need some ugly dude.
It's like, you're a bitch. Jeez.
You need to date Flavor Flav.
Or something. But the dad is, her dad's happy, though, that she came home.
Is that Ernest Borgnine still alive? Maybe you could date him. Because this man, ooh, he's too handsome for you.
Right. And then
okay.
The sister comes home, and the sister's a bitch, too. Like, they're all
no
like...
No, she doesn't want to be there.
Seriously. It's like bitchy and like, you know, like basically like, ha, I got you. I stole your man, pretty much. So then they're talking and he basically like notices things about her, like she fidgets when she lies, when she gets nervous she plays with her hair. And so then she's talking to her sister and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, Roger's my fiance. And then everybody flips out.
Do you think Vivica A. Fox's version of drunk dialing or like drunk shopping like some people do, Vivica A. Fox's version of that is she gets drunk and accidentally agrees to an Ion movie instead of a Lifetime or Hallmark one?
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, she needs Ion.
So it's higher.
She's like, I have got to stop drinking vodka.
Get a role in Westworld or something. Come on. Yeah. They're looking for people.
Well, she was on Empire. She's a recurring character on Empire.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, oh, so then we find out Gwen is still around. She's still around. And she's realizing something fishy's going on, of course, because her boyfriend hasn't been home in 2 or 3 days.
She's like, I haven't seen him for a week, and there's a weird smell coming from the bathroom, but I don't want to go in there.
Right.
And also, the water keeps rushing from under the door, but I don't know. It just smells. It's weird, right?
What are you talking about?
There's I'm just like, if Roger had died in the bathroom, she wouldn't even know it because she's just like so complacent that she's like hanging out in the apartment. Like, well, I came all the way to this country, but I'm just going to sit inside in L.A.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So then.
That's funny.
So Gwen finds out where he works, where Roger works. And so then she calls a cab. Meanwhile, they're in Brooke's childhood bedroom, and they're talking and getting to know each other better, and she has a music box, and she's telling him that her favorite color is red, and then she thanks him for, like, actually making her go to the party, and then she talks about her fear of flying. And they're sitting on the bed.
Brooke also has a non-Christmas music box that plays a Christmas song. And Roger claims to have the same one. It's a jewelry box, by the way.
It was her grandmother's, And he has, well, I have one just like it. I don't believe that. He's lying.
Right. Well, at this point, the whole movie, like, they're both liars, pretty much.
Ridiculous. Yeah, she tells him she's afraid to fly, and he laughs. He thinks phobias are funny.
Right. Oh.
What else are you afraid of?
And then her ex walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And then
David.
They're talking. And then the dad walks in.
The ex walks in because he forgot where the bathroom was. He's dated two different daughters that have lived in this house, and he's like, yeah, I don't remember where the dumping place is.
Well, maybe after he dates the mom, he'll have this all straightened out.
He'll figure it out.
I wrote, everybody walks in. David walks in. Dad walks in. No one has any sense of boundaries. Yeah. If the door is open, everyone is piling into the room like it's a night at the opera.
Not only did the ex walk in because he forgot where the bathroom was, but the very next sentence he points out like that they painted. So he recognizes, oh, should there be a toilet here? I'm not sure about that, but I am sure that this is now mauve.
Right. Right.
Yeah. The only bathroom on the floor is one you have to walk through the bedroom to get to. good designing, architects on that one.
So the dad, summons Roger to go with him to his study.
Roger. Like he's growling.
And so then the ex, and the ex tells Brooke that he's actually happy for her, and everyone's happy. And then they go to, they hug, and I'm like, don't hug your ex in your bedroom. Are you stupid?
They're not hugging in her bedroom. They're hugging in the almost bathroom.
That's right. The almost, She should slap him right in the face. She should slap him right in the balls.
I was like, you are stupid. Are you crazy? What do you, no. And, yep.
Why would you date somebody's sister? Why would you date, like, your, because they were, like, that was, like, his fiance, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to date her sister?
Yeah. That happens. Making this up. My grandfather and my grandfather were no longer together when I was very young. And then my grandmother, or before I was even born, and my grandmother and my grandfather, they split up. And then my grandmother married his brother.
Oh, wow.
So, all right, wait. I'm confusing this. My grandfather is also my uncle. And my uncle is my great. So my dad is my uncle. I'm my own cousin in some weird way. Yeah.
Remember? That's crazy. You remember there was a woman in Survivor who, and it really sucked because she got like voted off the first episode, but she was in all these tabloids because she had married her stepson. Dragged through the mud. She married her stepson. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, her husband died. And then she married her own stepson.
Oh, so that wasn't that salacious then, if he died.
Well, like, how did he die? Was she the stepmom that, like, helped raise this kid and now she married? You know, there's got to be some more context to that one.
Right, because, you know,
in tabloids and stuff, and they kind of dragged this,
Because I have friends with stepkids who are older than they are.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that happens.
So Gwen shows up at the office.
Yes.
And then we find out it's actually a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so then Natasha, I guess, has no life because Natasha's at work on a Saturday.
Yeah.
She's behind a tree. There's a tree in the office, and she's standing behind it, and she hops out of behind the tree. So, all right.
Meanwhile, the dad has the dad has Roger in his office, and he's asking, "What are your intentions with my daughter?"
This could have been a good scene. This could have been sort of a light play on the Robert De Niro Ben Stiller movie, Meet the Fockers.
Right.
It could have been that. It could have been like, you know, dad is being really intense with the future son-in-law. It could have been fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was not.
It was not.
Well, it wasn't.
And then he's like, I'm a traditional man. And then
David asked for permission.
Say what you want about David.
We knew David because he dated the other daughter, whatever her name is. And so we knew him.
Yeah. Don't you think these people are shifty, Dad? There was also a big gun on the wall. So if things got out of line, he was going to get that gun and say, take this, Roger.
Well, that's a dad move. That's a total dad move to, like, you know, bring you in the room with the gun on the wall just to show you that you better not, you better not mess up.
And then,
so he said, he's like, you should have asked for permission.
And then Roger's like, well, in England, we do things a little different in a different order. Like, we drive on the wrong side of the road.
I never thought of that.
We learn the accent after we've lived there.
Right.
We're married people who we don't even know.
And I wrote in my notes, how much longer do I have to suffer through this?
Yeah.
And then they drank scotch.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I think it was real.
Yeah.
And
I could go for a little.
They're like, how much longer is this shoot? And the guy's like, we're only on day two.
Get the real stuff out. I used to do Shakespeare with Earl Hyman.
And then, okay, I have a confession. I have a confession.
You love this movie?
They drove away in the car, and then I got a little distracted. So what was this conversation they were having? Oh, wait.
Before that, the sisters have a little conversation. So the sister says, she tells Brooke's sister tells Brooke that she's happy that her and Roger engaged. She's like, now you're not alone. Because you were alone before, you stanky spinster.
Because I stole your man.
Yeah, they keep dancing around. Like, they never get into the why Brooke and the ex broke up, how the sister got with him, what kind of rift that caused them to feel. Like, they never address any of the how. That would have been mildly interesting to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These people are dicks. Yeah, they comes down. Roger's like, he's like, well, I have to go. By the way, I don't want any emails. I know my British accent's not great either, but I'm not starring in an Ion movie. He's like, all right, let's go. Let's go now. We'll have to go. Gwen's here. Who's Gwen? She's the housekeeper or something. She had some kind of excuse. So now they jump in the car. And then they have an argument in the car. Uh-huh. He's mad. She gets mad because she's like, every man leaves her. David left her, and now Roger's leaving her for Gwen. He's going to propose. Now, there's a weird – they're driving in a weird blue screen also.
green screen was worse than the green screen they used to make their alleged Photoshop photos. It was so bad.
Right. It's like they're living in one of their Photoshops right now.
They kept passing the same house over and over, and no matter whose window you were looking at, so if you're looking at Brookside or Roger's side, they kept passing the same house.
Well, I can imagine the people who live in that house looking out the window, and they got to see these people driving back and forth and back and forth.
God.
Oh, man. But they're not. It's weird. Maybe that's some sort of – maybe that is their sense of reality. They live in a bad green-screened world.
So
maybe
when they have pictures of their lives, it just looks like they're in a bad green screen. It's like a terrible Sims game where they're like, oh, I'm going to force them to get married through bad INS rules.
Right.
How?
So, then –
you're becoming mates. I thought we were going to be. I thought we'd be becoming mates. What do you mean? Oh, friends? Yeah, friends. I said mates. No, and that was it.
Okay.
That's what happened.
So then he talks to Gwen, right?
Yeah.
And then he basically tells Gwen, "I'm married." And then Gwen understandably gets upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
He's then, lucky he doesn't get his ass kicked.
Right. Seriously. Then Brooke.
I'd have some running distance. If I was going to, like, if I was going to tell this to my girlfriend, I'd do it on a bullhorn.
Seriously.
So that I'd get, like, a half mile distance. I could run.
Seriously. And then, okay. Oh, so then, great. Then Brooke goes home. And then Amanda is in the backyard crying.
Yes.
Because Amanda thought she was going to get proposed to, but instead, Amanda got dumped.
Yeah.
Ooh! Yes, Ryan broke up with her.
Yes. So she's crying.
Ryan.
So then, immigration comes knocking at the door.
Didn't Amanda also like start asking about Roger and that? And she's like so into the idea of Brooke like being with Roger, like really being with him. She's like yeah. her need for people oh, yeah. around her to be in a relationship is legit unhealthy. That's yes. all she talks about.
Yes.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Amanda also bought Ryan an obscene amount of gifts, she said. I don't know. Right. It was important enough to be in the movie, so.
It is off the rails. I'm trying to work in there, see how it works.
So then
Ryan should have stuck around for those gifts.
So the next day, immigration comes over. And they're mm-hmm. like, you know, we want some answers. And Roger's not there. And so she's trying to stall stall the INS. And Roger like rushes over and he gets there and they try to pull one over on the INS, and the INS actually agree with Jason. Because they're like, your photoshopping sucks.
Yeah.
They question the legitimacy of everything. Like, you're here as a graphic designer. Well, they didn't actually say that, but they probably thought it.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, we're just going to deport you just because you should Photoshop better. Come on, dude. Seriously. They were going to import you in for this.
I want to see the sequel to this movie that justifies all the plot points in this, where we find out that he's not a graphic designer, and the real reason he wanted to come to America is because X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Yeah, there's got to be a better reason.
He's like a major grifter.
Right. So the next scene, she's packing up her office. And I'm sure she's waiting for her court date because she's going down.
Yeah. Because Roger admitted everything to the INS.
Yeah.
He owned it.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, it's all my fault.
It's all my fault.
So she's packing up her office. And I wrote.
Yeah, he's
I
like,
even wrote,
I wrote. I know, I was just going to say, he's. He's gonna. Oh no! I was gonna say he's like, don't. It was all me. Don't blame her. There we go. You're off the hook, aren't you? No. It's not how it works.
No, because you just committed a felony, a big one. So she's packing up her office, and then Eric Roberts. What? Oh, they have. So this is their second scene together.
Wait, their second scene took place after. A flashback montage.
Right.
Where they were showing scenes from this movie we have just watched. Like, anytime they do that in one of these movies, by the way, they're just doing it because they need to kill time. They need to fill that 90 minutes. They're like, let's just slap together a montage of what you've just seen.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see it again.
So then Eric Roberts shows up, and I actually noticed that Eric Roberts has a good head of hair. His hair looks very healthy. And then he asks her what's going on. And she's like, well, we got busted. And he's like, oh, no. And it's like, you're the one that started this whole thing. This is your fault. And he's like, oh, no. What are you going to do? And I'm like, Eric, this is your fault. This is all your fault.
Yeah.
You did this.
Like, you couldn't have just put an ad on ZipRecruiter for a graphic designer in Los Angeles area, local only.
Right.
I think you wanted that job. Sounds like.
So then she fesses up that she really does love Roger. And then Eric is like, you got to go get him. And she's
Eric
like.
Eric Roberts gives her. He gives her a black card. It's
yes.
called a black card.
Which I think that's very
what
nice.
What is that? It's a special.
It's a okay. special American Express that has no limit.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And you have to be very rich to even be considered for one.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So he gave her his black card. And and so then we discover that this whole thing was basically kind of like what Lifetime does when they do the 2 weeks earlier sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Because then she runs out, and that's when she says to Santa, because Santa's like, where are you going, lady? And she's like, I'm getting a husband for Christmas.
Girl.
So pissed.
So then this next part was really annoying, because if this is supposed to be LAX, this would not happen.
Would not happen at any airport in America.
Right.
Well, I know it's hard to film in an actual airport, and clearly this was not an airport.
But come on.
I know they're not allowed to film. Like, look, the airport looked very sparsely populated. The security looked lame. But, like, the fact that she just got through security and was able to run to the gate, like, you would need a ticket and need to actually go and have your bags checked and everything.
And the parents could run to the gate. And the family.
All the family. Yeah. All families there. And Santa.
And his
Santa
soul patch.
His soul patch
got through security.
Right. So he's getting ready. He's getting ready to be put on the plane.
If they're letting a soul patch through security, then the terrorists win.
Right.
Well, I think they have.
So he's getting ready. So Roger's getting ready.
I think we've given up.
If this movie is a sign of things to come, then we have.
I think this is it.
So basically, she catches up with him at the gate. He's getting ready to get put on the plane. The INS people are there. He would be cuffed if this was, you know. She says, I want to go to England with you. Okay. And then everybody gets mushy, and the female INS agent gets misty-eyed.
Yeah, quick switch on her.
Right. And then he yells across the room. Roger yells across the room to Brooke's dad, can I marry a daughter? And then he basically that's what he said. The end.
Well, a couple things. First of all, earlier in the movie, I don't think we mentioned that there's something about her singing Jingle Bells.
Oh.
So now they end the stupid movie with everybody standing up and singing Jingle Bells. Everybody in the airport.
Right.
Santa Claus is there, they're all singing Jingle Bells. And this whole thing, this sham marriage is no longer a felony. Because of, I don't even understand why, but it's just not. Everybody's off
the hook.
They're off the hook.
Off the rails?
I wish it was that easy. Having just gone through that, I'm like, no. The whole process takes a year. It seriously took like a year.
I thought the couple had some chemistry, though. I thought Vivica A. Fox and Roger had some chemistry in their scenes.
I didn't think they did initially, but later in the movie, it's like, oh yeah, they kind of do actually.
Yeah, because he was hot. He really was. That I give credit. You know, I give credit where credit is due.
I found him to be kind of charming. Sometimes
this for me may be the worst movie we've ever watched.
Wow.
Yeah, I hated this movie.
That's pretty
like this was worse strong, than Santa's boots.
Oh, Santa's that's really boots. Bad.
Yes,
you have a problem with Santa. Yeah. It was really at the root of it. It is an offensive movie.
Yeah.
And if anybody watches this movie and it says is influenced by it anyway, that's really bad.
Right.
It's better. I think the world is a better place without this movie existing.
I agree.
There you go.
I agree.
That the Ion lawyer is calling. They're gonna sue me.
Oh, please.
But what chemistry those two leads had. Come on, Vivica, you can do better. Call Westworld.
Right.
They're looking for people. They're hiring over there.
Right.
Update your LinkedIn, Vivica.
Something.
Get in there.
Something.
Because if you don't, I will. I'll get a role over there. I'm telling you to go there, you know. Okay.
Please, we could use more reviews.
Yes.
So
5-star
five-star, exactly. 5-star reviews. And also keep those suggestions coming. Keep the movie suggestions coming as well. If you want to drop us a line, you can find us on Facebook at A Lifetime of Hallmark, or on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. And I discovered that we actually do have a Twitter, but I'm going to change the name. But until I change the name, you can tweet us at He Just Loves the Hallmark Channel. And then you can find me, of course, on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. Jason?
I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Big Shot Jason.
Kurt?
Okay, I am considering buying a computer because I don't have one.
You should have done it during Prime Day.
During Prime Day?
Yeah, yesterday.
I considered it. Best Buy had a flash sale too, but they didn't have what I needed. So yes, I'm considering that. And then, so that's good. And then you can check out campusmartiustv.com to see the TV pilot I did. And then everything's going to be updated soon, so watch out.
Oh, and if you happen to be in Minneapolis this weekend, if you're or the weekend of July 19th, come and see me. I host a monthly show there. It's a storytelling show called Workplace Drama. I host that at the Strike Theater at 7:30 p.m. Every month has a different theme, and this month's theme is summer jobs.
Woo!
And you can find that more information on that at striketheater.com. That's it. We made it.
Funeral. I went to a funeral, and my cousin was like, "Yeah, look at your IMDb page." She was like, "Yeah, I didn't really update it too much." She was like, "Yeah, I noticed that." It's like, dude, man.
At a funeral.
I need to get shit at a funeral.
I love it. Throw shade at a funeral. I love that.
And
I'll update my IMDb page. Yeah.
That actually sounds like a Los Angeles funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You know, at a funeral, talking about IMDb and looking for gigs and, like, representation at the funeral. All right, gentlemen. We did it. And I will call. I'll talk to you guys, and we'll talk to the audience next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.